So have all the big ideas gone up in fire and fury?
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for January 29th, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stanton.
Thank you. I love the enthusiasm.
Thank you.
It's just, God, made me happy just hearing that. It did.
Well, that's so cute.
I'm adorable. We're adorable. We're America's adorable couple. And...
Okay.
So it was an interesting week writing this, and it's one of those instances where you write a, you know, you're pretty sure the story is going to have legs going forward. The book Fire and Fury by, oh boy.
Oh gosh, what was his name?
That guy.
Wolf.
Yeah, Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, I have it written down somewhere. I can't find it right now.
Okay, that's because we're...
Mr. Wolf, because we're very, very respectful.
Yes, we are. We're just darn respectful here. Anyway, so I just assumed this book would have legs, and already it's been pushed off for other things that have happened. It's weird. It's just so strange trying to write.
Well, I thought they read some of it. Didn't they read some of it?
They did.
At Grammys at,
yeah, it was.
Something?
I thought that was kind of unseemly, and then Hillary was the last one to read. It's just like, you know, he wants to move forward, just to keep dragging her out. It's like, you know, she lost. That's how politics works, and
right.
Now it's time to move forward.
Well,
and
you brought it up in the strip, which
yes.
Ended up with a bit of discussion among the commenters as to whether it was the book was true or not, to which Ignatz responded, I have a couple to say, Ignatz said, Trump wanted to sue for violation of a non-disclosure agreement. That means it's true, as well as the fact that he now regards Bannon as an enemy. But old guy says... At least the quote-unquote journalist who wrote the book is honest enough to tell you up front that parts are true and parts are not. He doesn't know which is which. You have to figure that out for yourselves. Seriously? Yep. And that's true. I looked it up.
What's that?
That the author says...
Wolf said.
Yeah,
some
he
of
said...
And some of it may be less than...
Well, he just says he's not sure. He's like, the many... Here's the good...
Now, that's journalism.
Quote, it was,
that's journalism.
Here's some of the quote. Lord. Many of the accounts of what has happened in the Trump White House are in conflict with one another. Many, in Trumpian fashion, are baldly untrue. These conflicts and that looseness with the truth, if not with reality itself, are an elemental thread of the book. And so he says, he just kind of like lets people offer their versions, the people in the book, and you can decide what's true and what's not.
But see, that's not how truth works.
He settled on a version of what he believes is true.
I know. See, this is such crap, and
it
makes me
very hard
furious.
To find what is true and what isn't true in some places. And I think that's one place.
It may or may not be, but
then
don't...
it seems like you wouldn't write a book saying that.
Yes, you write the book
Make
that
the
has
novel.
The facts.
You do the novel, like what was the novel that was sort of based on the Clintons that was
oh,
written by
right.
Anonymous, and then they came out who it was, but I completely forgot the name of it.
Right. What was Primary Colors?
That's it.
And
you do something like that instead.
You can, but I think if you're going to write a book and present it as I was had unfettered access throughout the White House and these are facts, and then you come forward later and say, yeah, some of them are more perceptions.
Well, I've not read the book, so I don't know if he put all that down and you get to, like, he just says what people said, and that's true. If he just quotes what someone said, he just doesn't judge it and lets you judge.
Well, apparently he makes some judgment calls here, and I have not read it either. I'm always suspicious of books like this, especially single books, where it's, you know, not corroborated. Where and so I kind of was weary of diving in, but then it became a thing, and so I felt I had to talk about it because it does confirm the narrative and it does confirm. Allegedly some facts that confirm our view of this White House and this president and this presidency. So, you know, I have issues, like I said. I mean, every story, I always wait. I try not to do an editorial cartoon about it, even though there's a lot of stress now to just write and respond to something right now.
Right.
Because I don't know that it's true. And I like to think that I take a few minutes to step back and think about it. However, the reaction by the White House to the book was, you know, negative and very angry. And talking about Ignatz mentions Bannon. Don't forget, Bannon also just started crying like a 5-year-old and tried to beg forgiveness because he really didn't mean all those horrible things he said about President Trump. It it's one of the issues I drew about it was, I think it was the third day, right? It was on the Constitution.
The free speech type.
Free speech. And here's the thing. I mean, people, I'll listen to comments, but I want to jump in and just say very quickly. I'm sure that some of them question whether or not Trump actually attacked the Constitution. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of you. See this?
Let me just read some comments, and if it comes up, you can talk about it.
Right. I just want to say that whenever we're not on the podcast, Janine complains that I do this. I jump way ahead, and she has things set up in a certain way.
Right. And then otherwise, it's like, well, I'm going back, and it's hard. But anyway, here we go about the Constitution. You know, President Trump has talked about being able to sue people more for libel.
Yes.
And Timothy says, the funny thing is that if President Trump got his way, he could be or could have been sued in regards to the birther stupidity.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The libel laws in this country are fine. If they're, you know, if you're they're based on malice, and if you have to prove that, it's a tough thing to prove. So what else?
And so I think it's interesting. Andy Litt said, long before Trump hit the scene, I stated that we need to have the press chopped back down to the same level of First Amendment protection the rest of us enjoy. They can publish things with impunity that would result in defamation conviction for the rest of us. Call yourself a quote-unquote journalist and you gain a level of protection that makes you virtually immune to the repercussions of the average citizen is subject to. And I said this about Klein's Clinton books years ago, and I say it about Wolf's as well.
Now, who is this?
Andy Litt.
Yeah, Andy, you're wrong.
But that's what Garkale J.
Okay, you're putting your hand up, making me shut up. So, okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm saying I just wanted to read
Well, you did.
Response.
You did the stop.
Well, because I want to read this response.
Talk to the hand.
You could do it too. Garkale J. says, it's not the job of the free press to kiss the president's butt. He's got Breitbart and Fox News for that. The rest of us have a duty to report the facts regarding to what's happening in the government for those who are affected by it. That is the only duty the free press has. They don't have to be even-handed or even fair in their reporting. They just have to be accurate.
Yes, and that's what many try to do. I think now with fewer and fewer, with a really tragic diminishment of the news gathering organizations, both television, radio, and newspapers, magazines, blogs, all of them, that they're just all being eroded to a state that it's very difficult to vet and hence have extreme confidence in everything that's being reported. Now, what was his name again? The one who said that about who said that initially about how
Andy Litt.
Yeah, Andy, the press does have, because it's also mentioned in the Constitution, but free speech is protected across the board. So you have the right to say this stuff. Someone can bring you to court. Don't forget, people drag news organizations into court all the time. And they lose much of the time for the reasons that you talk about, that you can report things. If you do it in good faith, then you can post it and report it. The fact is, those rights extend to everybody in this country. So I'm glad someone kind of countered that. Any other comments we need to get to?
Spirit Interface says, sorry, but
like
wrong president. President Obama is the one who violated the U.S. Constitution multiple times. The Democrats in Congress are trying to strip President Trump of his constitutional authority.
I'm going to go with a big what? And then I'm going to follow that up with, I'm getting so incredibly sick and tired of the whatabouts. The snowflakes on the right who continue to throw this out there. First of all, Barack Obama, no longer president. He's gone. We're not talking about him. He's no longer in the White House. We're talking about the current occupant. But like I say, these whiny little snowflakes on the right who continually throw things out that a four-year-old would throw out. What about blah, blah, blah? They blah, blah, blah. What about, yes, and guess what? When blah, blah, blah did it, it was wrong.
Right.
Then.
Both sides do that because we've heard it from both sides.
Well, I'm saying right now what I'm seeing and what I'm getting fed up with hearing on my Facebook page, frankly, is the what about blah, blah? Ooh. What about Clinton? What about, we're not talking about that. That's not even relevant anymore. We're talking about the current occupant of the White House and his actions and his administration, period. So don't throw out what about Baba? It's not relevant. So stop it. Grow up.
Okay.
I'm done. I just went through a whole week of this. You know, I did an editorial cartoon about Franklin Graham defending President Trump's affair with a porn star. I mean, this is an evangelical, and it just makes you wonder, who are these people? What do they believe? Well, I'm all for him because he supported tax cuts. I don't know, remember Jesus ever mentioning tax cuts or the graduated income tax or anything of the kind. So I'm frustrated, and you can hear it, obviously. So I'm going to calm down.
Okay.
And now I'm back.
We'll move on. What do you want to move on to? Do you want to go to your lack of ideas?
Well, we talked about later about where are the big ideas? Who are, because we have such little people now leading this country, and that's across the board. That means the president. It means the leader, Democratic and Republican leader in the House, the Democratic and Republican leaders in the Senate. We have little people leading us. We don't, and they don't have, little people don't have big ideas. And someone had, I think, what was I thought was one of the best responses to this.
Right. It was Bob Kapla, and he said, "We don't need big ideas. We need smart ideas."
That is a brilliant way to put it. Maybe and that would have been a better way to write the series. Actually, we do. We need grand. Well, okay, you can have smart ideas that are grand. We were trying to remember what I wanted you to say on the podcast. We're talking about big ideas.
Right. This morning.
And you said,
that's it. I told you I didn't remember what I said.
Okay.
But
it was really smart.
Did you remember?
No, but I remember it was the subject, and you said something that was really, really pertinent. Oh, well. Next podcast. We'll be pertinent next podcast,
folks. I'll remember it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we both will. We'll go. When I get up for the fifth P of the evening, I'll be, hey! And you'll be going, what? Or it'll go something. The arc will be something
well,
like that.
Well, MSSS says, my taxes are going down. My investments are going up. ISIS is on the run. Illegal immigration is down. Our military is getting more respect. And we are starting to cut off nations that work against us. I can't understand the people who are livid and nasty about that.
They're not livid and nasty about that. I think many of us agree with that. I think tomorrow night, we're recording this on Monday night. On Monday, January 29th. Tomorrow night is the State of the Union address. President Trump's first State of the Union address. Last year, it was just an address to the joint session of Congress. He has much to crow about. And he just, who was that again?
It was MSSS.
Gets it right. However, now I'm going to sound like something I just wailed against. Many of those things started in the last year of the Obama administration. The economy started to pick up at like a 1.5-2% GDP. You had illegal immigration was already going down because the economy, hit the crapper. So a lot of those things had already started. But I think to this credit of this White House, I'm going to say something nice.
Okay.
Is that consumer confidence and confidence in the economy is way up because of this, because of the tax cut, because of just the sense that there's a pro-business person in the Oval Office has helped a lot. And I said this from the beginning, from the day he was elected, that the first 2 years of the Trump administration, the economy is going to go great guns.
And then?
Yeah, well, when you add $1.5 trillion at least, and that's by the way, coming from the Congressional Budget Committee, or whatever the hell it's called, nonpartisan looking at this, that's a very conservative number. So you know it's going to be a hell of a lot more than that. Once that starts to really kick in, then I suspect inflation and other issues will become something we'll have to deal with, and the economy will not be doing so well. But right now, like I said, these first 2 years, I think probably going into 2019, things are going to be pretty good. Do we have any more comments?
We had comments, but actually there was someone who was kind of, Thomas says, am I the only one getting tired of seeing the president portrayed as a skunk? The artist might not like Trump or his tweets, but the office deserves a bit of respect. Just what does this guy want from Trump? Not that many presidents have had a good relationship with the press. Trump has simply said in public with great force and pungency what many of his predecessors felt in private.
I'm going to disagree with Thomas. I'm going to agree and disagree. If that, I can do both. And trust me, you can do this. So stay with me on this. On the first half, I think the respect for the office is correct. If you notice, I often refer to Donald Trump as President Trump because that's what he deserves. He's the president of the United States, and I respect the office. I was actually speaking to someone earlier today. I was on radio down in Birmingham, Alabama. And this came up. We're talking about a number of Democrats who aren't going to show up to the State of the Union tomorrow night. And I thought that that's disrespectful because this isn't just about Democrats, Republicans. It's about statehood. I mean, statesmanship. I think I had that same trouble with the word this morning. It's about statesmanship and about respecting the president, respecting the legislature, and the legislature respecting the office of the president, as well as the judiciary is there as well. But where I would go down the line and say, what do you want? He hasn't just said, I don't like the press. He has said, he's called them liars. He has called them fake news. He's actively trying to erode any kind of moral or ethical authority that they may have. He has literally kicked reporters that he doesn't like because they said something bad about him out of events. And he has said that he wants to grow the libel laws and make them more onerous in this country, which will have a chilling effect of free speech. So
it's going to ruin the watchdog aspect.
Right.
And we need that.
We do need that. And it is adversarial. There's
and
no question.
It's very communistic.
Yeah.
The word communistic.
Well, it's very totalitarian. I mean, I would say it's very Putin-esque.
Yeah.
So
and not what we want. Bad things always happen.
When the press is diminished.
Right.
There's no question about that. I unless there's any more comments, I think we should probably wrap things up.
Good.
Okay, then. Janine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Aw, thank you, Janine Fadich. And thank you, Brian Altimer, who's out of town. He's actually going to be back tonight from Las Vegas at the Adult Entertainment Industry Convention. And we talked to him the other night. I was on WGN Radio late, and the things that he's posted on Facebook. Wow. Just, okay. Just we may talk to him about it next week. I don't know. Anyways, but he's going to be putting this together. So thank you, Brian. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to go to gocomics.com/prickly city. Leave a comment. You can register. It's free, and it's actually pretty cool. You can get a newsletter and have all your favorite cartoons and editorial cartoons sent to you every morning. And if you don't want that, you can just go and click the heart, and that'd be nice. Or leave a comment. Either way.
Or both.
Or do both. Hey, why not? You know, hey, you can be an overachiever. I'm not going to stop you. That's what's great about this country. Or if you want to talk to us directly, go ahead and shoot us an email at pricklycity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.